Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Good morning, Georgia.
Morning.
Another voice that has been silenced, that, of course, the one you're hearing right now, Little Richard, passed away yesterday. 87 years old?
Yeah.
88 years old. Man, I just, Sam and I were talking about this before we came back on, man. The in memoriam that we're going to hear at the end of this year, and we're now, what, just up to, we just started May.
Yeah.
Is just going to be heart-tugging. It really
Richard
is.
Richard Wayne Penniman. From Macon, Georgia, and given a lot of different nicknames, the innovator, the originator, and I like the one, the architect of rock and roll.
Yeah.
And sometimes a guy who probably doesn't get all the credit that he should have gotten, I think, but just someone who just originated a sound that so many others tried to duplicate and was on the edge. I mean, you mentioned Prince earlier. Prince obviously took a page from this guy. First of all, with the over-the-top persona, the dress, and just and the lyrics, which you know what kind of lyrics Prince put out there, but for the 50s, the stuff that Little Richard put out was kind of that.
Well, and, for mainstream, because remember those, you know, he came from a number of musicians like Little Richard, minus the flamboyancy, were playing that kind of music, but they were on that Chitlin' circuit. We know about that. And so mainstream.
Folks like Ike Turner.
Yeah. And Chuck Berry was down there for a minute. Chuck was the first one to kind of hit some stuff that was going mainstream. But most of the music that a lot of the, and we, you know, that's a whole other show. We can talk about the British invasion and those musicians, what they took from those musicians that were traveling in just the deep south and didn't make it to mainstream. But that sound was prevalent down this part of the country. You just weren't hearing it on American Bandstand and whoever else, Alan Freed, places like that.
Yeah. James Brown kind of got his start, kind of, you know, touring with Little Richard to tell you just how popular he was, like you said, on that circuit and the way he just performed. But there are two men I can think of that love to do interviews and say that they were pretty. One is Muhammad Ali.
Yep.
The other one is Little Richard. I can think of. They were very comfortable saying, yeah, and by the way, I'm pretty.
And we lost another voice, and I'm going to have Jahi come in here real quick, and because I have one I want to get to, but I want to have Jahi come in because I don't want to wait till the end and talk about Andre Harrell.
Yeah, Andre Harrell, man, pioneer. It comes from the hip-hop group, started off without Jekyll and Hyde. Then he started working for Def Jam. Then he started Uptown Records and had acts like Father MC, Heavy D and the Boys, Jodeci, Mary J. Blige, Lost Boys. Just that, like, a lot of that New Jack Swing era, Albie Shore, Christopher Williams. A lot of that, and he was actually got a Puffy his start, gave him his first job, then went over to Motown years later. This show, New York Undercover. That was his show that he's executive producer of. Just a lot of things. He passed over the weekend from I believe it's a heart failure. So big rest in peace to him.
Yeah, and you talk about him, and it made me think about Little Richard. One of the guys that was one of his early influences was a dude. Now, tell me if you know who this name is. Bump Blackwell. Blackwell.
I haven't heard anything else, but
Bump Blackwell, his real name was...
comes from. What was that from?
Yeah, his first name was Robert, but Bump Blackwell was Quincy Jones before Quincy Jones. Talking about music producers. And this dude was and he was influential in Little Richard's career coming up, helped him out and musically, but Little Richard would always give credit to Bump for helping out his career. But this guy helped out not only Little Richard, he was instrumental in Ray Charles's early career, Quincy Jones, Ernestine Anderson, Sam Cooke, Lloyd Price, Herb Alpert. The list goes on. So again, he crossed genres too. So Bump Blackwell, look that guy's name up when you want to talk about producers and people who made an influence going back. So I just want to make sure I got that in here. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. One of the other people we lost this past week is, as people say, he's on that Mount Rushmore when you talk about the NFL, and that's Don Shula. When you think of Don, the 72, beside the 72 undefeated team, Sam, what do you think of when you think of Shula?
I think of those teams, but also think about the Colts. In Baltimore, the Colts and the quarterbacks that he had that he had. I mean, and one thing he always had that is sometimes interchangeable in today's NFL. He always had that long time backup. He always had the guy that was the backup that was
Earl Morrow.
You know what I mean? Earl Morrow. How many checks did Don Strock?
Don Strock,
How many checks did those guys cash? Yeah, but just being the backup on his team. But he believed in that. He believed in having that long-time backup there just in case the guy up front, you know, had to miss a game or two. Just tremendous. I had a chance to meet him and interview him a few years back when he opened a restaurant here in town. And had a chance to talk with him and meet Coach Shula. So I know people talk a lot about that team, and I've read and heard some things this week. Some of his former players from that team talk about what people think these guys have an ego because they get together every year when the last team loses a game and have a celebration. He says, "But hey, Coach says, hey, that's our title. We earned it. We won it."
Right.
And it was cool to communicate with some of those, and I communicated with Larry Little some this week, of course, who's a Hall of Famer that played on that team, offensive lineman for the Miami Dolphins. So, you know, rest in peace, Coach. What a legacy. And the thing of it is, I think Belichick is the closest coach to him as far as all-time wins. And I forget.
Well, no, active. Seasons. He's active because he got
seasons. He would have to coach to get there.
You got Shula, and then you got George Halas, and then you've got Belichick, okay, who's still in the 200s as far as wins, and you know Halas and Shula are in the threes, so he got a minute. And then I think it's Curly Lambeau or something like that. It's somebody who's fourth, but yeah, Belichick's the only one who's got a shot at getting there. The thing that comes to my mind when I think of Don Shula, he's one of the few people in the sport who is also associated with one city. So when you start thinking of the names of famous people from certain cities, when you talk about Miami, Don Shula is there. You bring his name up, much like, you know, Ditka in Chicago. But it's also amazing that he ascended to that level of being on the Mount Rushmore, if you will, of NFL, but also was on the losing end of what a lot of people feel like was the most famous game in NFL history. And that was when Joe Namath's Jets finally won the AFC, the AFL, if you will, won a Super Bowl because the Packers had won the first two, and people were still saying, "See, we shouldn't emerge and bring these guys in because they're lesser talent," and so on and so forth. And then Joe Namath guarantees the win and beats the Baltimore Colts. And Shula was the coach of that Colts team.
That Colts team,
yeah. So for him to,
and you think about the way he coached.
Go ahead.
You're talking about coaching the quarterbacks he coached? No, you're talking about the coach, the quarterbacks. Think about today and all the things, the plays that are sent in. There's a radio in the helmet. Guys can hear things. Unitas called his own plays. You had to really trust a quarterback. That was in the day when Tom Landry was shuttling a player in every play with what the play was going to be for his quarterback. Right. That's what Landry did in Dallas. But to have a guy like Unitas says, you know what, I'm calling this. I can see it. And it wasn't what he got from upstairs. You know, he just was the guy that was in charge. And that's one thing to manage a quarterback like that. But then to go to a guy like a Dan Marino, you know, showed how even as a great coach, he was able to make that transition to the different times with the game.
That's the thing that I think will stand out about Shula is because he changed direction. Now, and listen, we have an opportunity to see that moving forward. If Belichick gets a different type of quarterback than Tom Brady and still makes it to the mountaintop, then this guy obviously changed his system around to fit his quarterback. A lot of coaches wouldn't do that. And I think Belichick's smart enough to see the success of people like Don Shula, of Dick Vermeil, who was a certain kind of coach when he was with Philadelphia, had a Ron Jaworski and a pure pocket passer back then when he was with the Eagles, got out of the game, called it for a while. When he gets back with the Rams, his coaches say, listen, man, you're going to have to change the way you do things. You don't have to stay in the office 23 hours a day. We're going to help you out, but you need to change the way you have coached before because you got a different type of quarterback. And he was resistant to that initially. But then you saw the success of Joe Gibbs. Joe Gibbs won 3 Super Bowls with 3 different quarterbacks. Yep. So there were guys who acquiesced to the talent they had at quarterback, and there was a lot of people who didn't. But Shula was one of the first ones. He had a Hall of Fame quarterback who was one type of guy with Johnny U and the Colts, and then Dan Marino couldn't be more polar opposite than Johnny Unitas, and didn't win a Super Bowl with him, but got to one with him, and both considered all time great. So yeah, I think that's going to be his lasting legacy, is that he was open to change, which a lot of coaches aren't.
Yeah. Yeah. It's fantastic career. And the folks down in Miami, like you said, he would ever be linked to that city because of what he was able to do with those Dolphins teams. It was fantastic.
Hey Sam, real quick before we get on out of here, and this may be an easy one right off the rip when I say it, but take a second. We talked about Little Richard earlier, right? We lost him. We lost Don Shula this past week. Who is a bigger contributor to their profession?
Wow.
Yeah, see? You got to think about that one for a second.
Before you say one, for a minute, but I mean, the influence is out there.
Who is a bigger influence or contributor, whatever? Don Shula to his or Little Richard to his?
Yeah.
While you're thinking about that, let's talk about another coach who had some comments this past week. Was on the NFL level, but on the college level right now. Of course, we don't know how long that's going to last. Jim Harbaugh. Head coach, University of Michigan, had some comments this past week about players leaving college and what should be in place if they don't get drafted. We're going to talk about that next and later on in the hour. Going to help you out, those of you out there with a dog, a pet that is dealing with this coronavirus in a way that just it's a little crazy for them right now. We're going to have a dog whisperer on. Millie Travis is going to join us. That's later on in the hour. It's Sam and Greg. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Remember, you can listen to us on radio.com app and all your devices, including smart speakers. Hey, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Good morning, Georgia.
Morning.
Happy Mother's Day, and I know we're at the tail end of it. Or actually, this is the next week, but I also want to acknowledge what was National Nurses Week. And everybody out there on the front lines, Mr. Crenshaw and I have been talking about this since we were made to move first and saw what was going on. I think the first people that we were talking about, and I haven't heard them talked about as much, but the truck drivers. Because you know what? Yeah. It's a lot easier to find things now in the stores. That is all because of the trucks that keep moving around the clock and bringing goods and services. So, yeah, let's get back to where we started with all this. Yes, it is apropos to acknowledge all the medical professionals that are out helping us and the other people, the city workers that we've talked about. But those guys out there on the roads bringing what we need and filling up them shelves, because it's a whole lot easier finding, the stuff that we couldn't find a few weeks ago.
Absolutely, absolutely. But also the people who are working on the roads. You know, I drove down into the city this week for the first time in a while, Greg, and found that because there's less traffic going into town on the downtown streets, they're doing a lot of work on the on the roadways. You know,
fixing them potholes. Thank you, Alabama.
The potholes, that, but also some of the on and off ramps of the freeway and some of the sidewalks. They're fixing sidewalks around the area. So they're taking advantage of this downtime when they can do things that they ordinarily wouldn't get to do, but we thank and acknowledge the people who are out there working to get those things done during this time as well.
Well, y'all finally fixed 10th Street between the connector and Northside.
You haven't been over there. It may be.
Thank you. 14th Street was done. We went down that one, but man, that 10th Street was messed up for a little bit. It was just, anyway, I hope they got it done. But yeah, there's a lot of road work that's been going on. Listen, did you hear the comments from Harbaugh this past week? Which is, some other people have said it over the years, but your thoughts on it. Jim Harbaugh came out, actually it was an open letter to the NCAA, but the overall message he has here is he thinks college players should have the ability to enter the NFL draft whenever they want to. As opposed to the rule right now,
where 3 years.
The 3 years, that's right. He wants them to be able to enter the draft whenever they want to. He also wants players who go unselected in the draft to be allowed to return to school. And so he put out this open letter to the NCAA, and I'm just going to give you a couple little parts of it, and I want to get your comments on it, Sam. The goal would be to create a scenario that makes adjustments for all current and future student athletes that puts the timeline for transition to professional football at the discretion at their discretion and that of their family. He said that there's a lot of athletes who are physically ready. They're early bloomers, he says, capable of competing in the NFL and earning a livelihood at an early age. Now, here's what he's, his plan is. Under Harbaugh's proposed plan, a player would be allowed to enter his name in the draft and return to school if he's not picked in the seven rounds of the draft. If a player is selected in the draft or signs a free agent contract, he would relinquish the rest of his college eligibility under this plan. What are your thoughts?
And that's if he is selected. It has nothing to do with whether or not he has an agent, which is, I think, one of the things they say when it comes to basketball. If you have an agent, you can enter your name and still maybe come back if you don't have an agent. I don't know how many guys would actually get a chance to do this. A lot of people have said that Trevor Lawrence would be able to do it possibly if he had been allowed to. And now he's now getting ready to start what would be his third and likely his final season at Clemson. But there's still a lot of maturity that has to go on. I mean, yeah, I've seen a couple of guys who physically could have gone straight from high school to the NFL, Herschel Walker and Bo Jackson. They were every bit of a man when they came out of high school as they were after they when they left to go to the pros. The thing of it is digesting an NFL playbook and being ready for the punishment that takes place. Now the two-a-days are gone away. The NFL practices are different. When Herschel and Bo came through, they were doing them two-a-days. You know, that's something different at the pro level. And then also, like I said, digesting an NFL playbook, which they don't get to do at the collegiate level. So there are a lot of different things that go in just being physically ready to play. Are you ready to do those things? And we're going to see that this year because the incoming players are not going to get as much time to have rookie camps and the things that they would normally get to do to get prepared. And probably we're going to see them come along at a slower pace, some of them, in this NFL season, some of the guys who've been drafted.
Well, okay, so you talk about mentally being
I don't think you can go after freshman year and be ready for the National Football League. A lot of guys are going to be ready to get the money, but I don't think they can do that.
Well, let me ask you this then, and let's put you on the staff of one of these NFL teams, and you're in the war room. And in past years, we've heard that teams took a player because this was the best athlete on the board. That was the phrase. The best athlete. So if we get freshmen that are coming out that are built like, as you said, Bo or Herschel, and they're the best athlete, despite the fact that they may not be mentally ready to suck up this whole playbook, or you may not feel that way given the interviews that you've had with them, what's wrong with taking the best athlete, which is what we see already?
I think you want somebody that at least has learned to play in a higher system and spend some time in that in a higher system, Greg. I think it's more than just – you're not going to just line up a guy and say, hey, just go run in this direction or go run in that direction. I mean, I don't think NFL coaching staffs are going to want to water down what they do and spoon feed somebody, you know, to learn that. They're going to want somebody who's ready to step in and do that. And I think you don't get that just coming out of high school, yeah, or 1 year of college. So that's, you know, what I would think would happen. The other thing that would happen, Greg, is that the NFL owners would have to go along with it, because to me, they're the ones that have the 3 year, you know, they have the 3 year limit that they put in, and usually don't look for them to break rank, you know. So if they say it, Harbaugh can say it all he wants to, but unless they break rank, which they seldom do on anything, it's not going to happen.
Anyway, Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Remember, you can check us out on the radio.com app, all your devices, including smart speakers. It was just, again, he said it in a way that made me feel like he thinks that they're ready to make this change on the college level. And as we have watched other teams, you know, sort of upgrade their minor league systems, and the NFL has always used college for that. I don't know. I just think that there's going to be some kind of changes moving forward. I don't know if it's Harbaugh's plan or something, but we know that there are some people. And listen, whether the individual is ready or not, let's say he is the best athlete of that freshman class, okay, and Team X needs this type of skill position player. And when do we incorporate the hardship of that player's family and the need for them to get some money into that family? You see what I mean? Because you talk about that a lot when we talk about some of these players that are come from broken homes or come from areas where, you know, they just they need that help, and it's
very,
some
very much. But you want them to make it and be successful. You don't want them to just go in to get the money. You want to be able to sustain it, don't you?
In a perfect world, you're absolutely right.
If you're prepared to sustain it, then good. But why put somebody out there that's not ready to sustain that success? I'm all for if you do your 3 years and you put your name out there and they don't pick you, you get to come back for your fourth.
Yeah.
Because that's the other part of this, you know, and that's what I was saying. It's, you know, so that's that part of it I'm totally good with. But I just think you do need some time to mature. And like I said, I mentioned Bo and Herschel. But would they be able to do that today, the way the running back position is right now?
It doesn't have to be that position, but it could be another one.
I'm just saying those are the guys that I saw. Those are the guys that I saw who were ready to physically to possibly go from high school to and play professionally. But now I don't remember any of them catching a pass out the backfield. If you're a running back, you can't catch a pass out the backfield. NFL kind of you saw how they treated them in this past draft, the guys who just line up and run.
We talked about that position. You're absolutely right there. But, again, here's the scenario. And you've talked about this, and now we're talking about agents that are going to be next to some of these kids coming up. Or the agents, or excuse me, as Harbaugh mentioned here, advisors, whatever title you want to give them. But yeah, well, Family X.
They're beside them dudes when they're in high school. They're already there, Greg.
Family X has a situation. Whether it's with mom or daddy or it's with kids or whatever the situation, but they have got a hardship situation going on within the family. And this individual is, as you said about Herschel and Bo, he's ready to take it to the next level, and there seems to be some interest. That's the key. There seems to be some interest from existing teams. My thing is, yes, in a perfect world, you'd want him to wait to go in. But there are going to be those situations, and obviously Harbaugh has seen it. College coaches have seen that enough to where they're now starting to talk about it. I don't think there's going to be a change in anytime soon, but they obviously have dealt with these players who come in and talk about their family situation, and if I could get out this year, I would go get that money because, you know, and then you highlight their particular story.
I think the one important thing is missing from what he's saying is anybody from the NFL comment on it. No. And so that's the very important part of it. The other part is this, Greg. The other shoe is this. Because how many times have we heard about guys who've done their 3 years, and if their team is not playing in the bowl championship playoff on those one of those four teams, they sit out the bowl game because they're focusing on the NFL. Well, now you're going to have freshmen doing that. You're going to have sophomores doing that, not going to a bowl game because they're going to put their names in the draft. That's going to be a part of it too.
Well, we are going to talk to a guy who got signed, or actually talk to his mother. which we might get more information out of her, coming up later on in the show on this Mother's Day morning. Kyle Duggar, that's a story that you want to hear about. But we're gonna talk to Mama today on this Mother's Day.
Yeah,
Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Also going to get into reopening Georgia and some facilities, too. Not just here locally as far as where we go out to malls and things like that. We're going to talk in the sports world. Facilities, arenas, fans coming in, media coming in, things like that we're gonna talk about. But coming up next segment, and I know Sam has been waiting to ask this woman all manner of questions because you just like to poke fun at Jesse. But for those of you who have not listened to the show, I lost my dog Roxy. We lost our dog Roxy. I should say my dog. Tracy and I had a dog Roxy who was a rescue. She passed away last October. Shortly after that, we got another rescue. Went to a place up in Dahlonega, a farm that rescues abused animals. And Jessie is a, by the way, I've been selling her shorts. She's about 35 pounds. It's like, okay, it's like the kid who says, I'm 8 years old. No, I'm not, I'm 8 and a half. So Jessie, I wasn't telling her she's 30, she's 35 pounds. Okay. Well, Jessie was, the first year of Jessie's life was horrific. Okay. Her and I would imagine the rest of her brothers and sisters. Okay. And this farm went and rescued all of them and brought them up to their location. And they're looking for families. And so Tracy found him, and we went up and got Jessie, but Jessie had some issues. Jessie needed some time on Frazier's couch because she had some real issues from where she spent the first year of her life. But now she's much better. One of the people who helped her get better is the woman we're going to talk to next segment. So those of you out there that are dog lovers, that are spending time with your dogs during this craziness where everybody's sort of shut in, but also one of the things that Millie's going to give us is a tip. Something that we can incorporate into life with our pet. And I don't want to limit her to just dogs. I think she's just across the board. She's a crazy animal lover, obviously. But she works with more than just dogs. So, but by the way,
Greg, you know what? And make sure and bring this up with her. You know, the dogs are wondering, when y'all going back to work?
Well, you can bring that up.
When y'all going back to work and leave me to my house? I'm used to having my house. I can just go wherever I want to go in a house, and y'all around here all the time. You know, I love you and everything, but when y'all go back to work?
Yeah, we should put a camera up there. You remember that?
That's what the dog wants to know.
We cut into the dog's poker games while we're at work. They got to sit there smoking cigars like that old dog picture. Anyway, and Millie comes from a famous local family, so we're going to introduce you to Millie Travis next. Millie, I'm going to call her the dog whisperer, but she's going to join us on a regular basis and bring some tips. That is coming up next. It's Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com, and check us out on radio.com, all your apps and radio smart speakers. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Good morning, Georgia.
Morning.
Happy, 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 happy Mother's Day. And a little belated happy National Nurses Week to everybody out there. Sam and Greg, I want to remind you, and by the way, I apologize how I tripped up. I ended that last segment like Jerry Lewis. My paper that I had in front of me where I have some notes, just like, it just left. And, whoa. You know, you say the same thing every time, but it's amazing when that little script goes away. I was humming. So
Blame it on Jesse.
No, Jesse ain't in
remember
the room,
always
man.
Say, well, what happened to your homework? The dog ate my homework. There you go. You have an excuse. Blame it on Jesse.
You can check us out on the radio.com app. All your devices, including smart speakers. Have you ever had a dog, man? Or like recently in the last few years?
Not in a while. Growing up, though, I always had a dog.
I had three dogs. In my life. When I was a kid growing up, we had a German Shepherd, but it was at that point I discovered that I had hay fever. So I couldn't have dogs with, you know, fur-bearing animals, any fur-bearing animal, cats. I even got a problem riding horses. Okay, so, ooh. But I found out that I could have a terrier, and I like terriers. Okay, and so we got Tracy and I. Actually, Tracy and her daughter went up to a place and got our last dog, stepdaughter, and that was Roxy. And Roxy was about a 40-pound black, sort of black lab and terrier pit bull kind of thing. And she looked mean as can be, but she really wasn't. Anyway, she got all 16 years old, and as the case with dogs, we had to put her down. And then we got Jesse. And Jesse's just a handful. And while there are similarities, Jesse came from a situation that was not ideal. And it breaks the hearts of people, especially Millie. And I want to bring Millie on right now. Mrs. Millie Travis, she is a dog trainer. She's probably got a couple other titles, but she works out at Butler Creek Animal Hospital. And she is, Sam, Jesse's aunt. Aunt Millie. So, Millie,
Aunt
good
morning.
Yeah. Millie, good morning.
Welcome, Aunt Millie. Welcome, Aunt Millie.
Oh, well, thank you. I'm happy to be here.
So I wanted to have Millie come on for a number of different reasons, and not just talk about Jesse, but we got thousands of dog lovers out there, and Millie works with these dogs on a regular basis. So I want to start with, and I know you got some questions too, Sam, I want to start with when we introduced you to Jesse, hearing her backstory, how is it that you approach dogs who have gone through some trials and tribulations, maybe been abused? When you get a hold of them, what's some of the things that you do to kind of right that wrong?
Yeah, well, I mean, it depends on the dog. I mean, for Jessie, it was, I mean, when I first met her, she was panicking. She was, I guess, there for her first medical exam after you guys had just adopted her, and she was panicking. She was not letting anybody near her. She was biting whoever tried to come close to her. And usually that's my job. They come and get me for those kind of dogs. So with Jesse, it was all fear, right? So what I did was, and I'm lucky enough to also run a play care pack there, I just introduced her to the other dogs, and I got her kind of comfortable with the pack there. And usually the dogs that are really afraid with humans do super, super well with the other dogs because they speak the same language. And over time, Jesse really did start to trust me a lot more, just having the pack kind of help her understand I wasn't there to hurt her. I wasn't there to do anything negative at all. And she has come such a long way in the last couple of years since I've known her.
This is the thing, Sammy. I sent you pictures a couple times. It was like taking a kid to school, and you can't do it just once in a while. We got Jesse, and Millie told us this was something that she did, you know, play days or whatever, play days. I'd have to get there at 9 o'clock and drop Jesse off, and she'd be there all day. And is this something that is recommended with any dog who's gone through, abuse, or you're trying to get them acclimated to their new family?
I mean, yeah. I mean, there's a bunch of different ways it can help for Jesse. It was, with a lot of dog training, it's creating good associations, and it's really, really cool that we're able to have that play care in the same place that a lot of, you know, dogs come for medical stuff. So, you know, a lot of times when you pull into the parking lot of your vet, your dog's already shaking, your dog's upset, and, you know, they have this negative association with the vet. And if I can offer play care for them there, and it's, you know, our play care is not just all let's party and have a good time all day. Like, we do a lot of training out there, but it's still a positive association. So if I can make them excited to come to the vet, that's a huge deal for a lot of our fearful dogs.
Spending time on the waitfor.com hotline this morning with Millie Travis. We call her the dog whisperer, but there's his other titles that she has. Well, Millie, before we got started, Greg and I were talking about dogs that we had growing up. At what point did you find that you had a talent for this or a gift for this? Or was it something that was cultivated? But this is start with a pet that you had early in your life?
Ooh, I've only had one dog growing up, but that dog was the easiest dog in the world, Callie. But, you know, ever since I have kind of moved out and moved on to my own, all the dogs that I've had have all had behavioral issues. And I think that might be why I started kind of getting into this. And I like that these dogs, when they have behavioral issues, they don't lie to you. It's not, you know, they're just mirrors to us. They're a reflection of us. So it's not about something that's wrong with them. It's something that you really haven't done yet to kind of prove yourself to them. So I think that might be why I like it so much is, you know, they're exactly what I am in every single moment.
I know Sam wanted to ask you a question about families that have dogs now, and now the families are home during this pandemic. And Sam said, like, hey, when are y'all going to leave? I think he put it that way. But what are some of the tips that you can give people that are dealing with being home right now with their pets?
Yeah, I mean, I think the cats are definitely the ones that are more ready for us to go back to work. But I don't think for our dogs it's really necessarily what's happening right now that's the problem. I am a little bit worried as someone who works with dogs and works with behavioral issues, what happens when we all go back to work, right? So I think the best thing we can do is just set a good precedent for our dogs while we're home. Use this time really, like, wisely. And a lot of people are getting new puppies right now. Great time to get a new puppy. Great time to put some training into it. But just make sure we're not just smothering our dogs with affection, because when we all go back to work, inevitably, they're going to have some emotional whiplash from that. So it's important to still provide some, like, limitations, some separation from your dog. Make sure that we're setting some good boundaries for them right now, and not just kind of setting a precedent that we can't keep up with when we all go back to work.
Miller, you mentioned the cats. What's so different about them? Of course, they're different anyway, but just the fact that you've been around them a lot, and it's uncomfortable for them as well, you're going to have to leave them again too. But what's so different with them, and how do you approach them differently?
Oh my gosh, I am not the person for that question. Everyone that works with me at Butler Creek knows if there is a 150-pound aggressive Rottweiler, I am running to the room to deal with that dog. But if there is an angry cat, I am running away. I am not a cat person. I have three cats, but I cannot deal with an aggressive cat.
Wait, you have three cats, but you can't deal with an aggressive cat. Is that what you said?
No. My cats are all pretty nice, but, you know, the ones at work, I am not the person for that. Everyone knows that I just go the opposite direction. If I hear a cat, you know, growling, screaming, anything like that, I am out.
Again, this is Millie Travis. Millie's got a pretty famous pops, if you are local news media here. Her father is Randy Travis from Fox 5, investigative reporter. So I guess that makes... Yeah, he's the IT. And Dana Fowle. So I guess that makes Randy sort of Jesse's great uncle.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. And, you know, my dad's definitely a big reason why I'm into this too. He did a ton of, I remember growing up, you know, a ton of different animal stories. And, you know, he really instilled in me kind of this love for dogs.
Again, Millie's at Butler Creek Animal Hospital in Kennesaw. That's over off of Ackworth Due West Road there. You guys are closed right now, and let's talk about this for a second. For those folks out there with pets that, for whatever reason, they have to take the pet to the vet, you can't, just like the rest of us, we can't get into restaurants, we can't get into certain places. What is the deal now with people who need to have care for their pets? Because you guys aren't letting people come into the buildings.
Yeah. So we're open right now. We're doing curbside service. So the only thing that's not open about us right now is our play care, but that should be open, we're hoping, within the next couple weeks. But, you know, obviously at the same time that this whole coronavirus is going on, we're also going through this huge remodel. So, it's just everything's crazy right now. So with a lot of different animal hospitals around, they're doing curbside though. So you just pull in the parking lot, call, let them know that you're out there, and we come and come outside and grab the dog from you or the cat from you, and check you out over the phone, and try to do that social distancing, but still take care of our animals.
So you can bring the animals in, do whatever work is done, call them back, come back at 4 o'clock this afternoon or whatever, but obviously nobody's being allowed inside, which is great, because again, I didn't think about that till I started talking to you, because if something happened, you know, are you doing the surgery? Are you performing surgeries? Are you performing things like that?
Oh, yeah. We are fully open except for play care right now. But the play care is just because of the remodel. So we're fully open. We're doing everything. We're just making sure that we're not allowing clients in the building and spreading anything.
Millie, before you leave, and we're going to have you on regularly, can you give us some tips, one or two, if you can, for people out there with pets? And by the way, do you deal with just dogs and cats? I mean, imagine, you know, you've seen other animals brought in there that you like or are familiar with or have a quick little story having to do with?
Our hospital does a lot of exotics as well. So we see snakes, and, you know, I love snakes, and, you know, I'm a huge fan of snakes. We see guinea pigs, the whole nine yards. So, when it comes to me, I only do the dogs. I do not do the cats. a couple tips. I think the best way that we could be spending this time is getting a good kind of structured leash walk with our dogs. A lot of people, I cannot tell you how many clients I ask, what exercise can you offer your dog that doesn't have excitement involved in it? and people can't answer it, right? So I think it's really important to kind of fulfill their physical exercise without asking for a ton of excitement, because in general, a lot of my clients come to me because they want their dog to be just calmer, but all they're doing is a bunch of different exercises like fetch or this walk where the dog's all the way at the end of the leash and smelling everything. And, you know, if we can kind of generalize calm for them, that's the best thing that we can do for them and ourselves as well.
Millie, appreciate you getting up
Millie,
and being a part.
Before we let you go, I have one question before you go. It's graduation time, a high school graduate. Think they hear what you do and want to try to get into that. What steps would you suggest to them?
Oh, tell them to come apply. I mean, I learned all this on the job. So, I mean, I actually graduated from Berry College with a political science degree. So, but you know, apply at a kennel, apply at your local animal hospital, work at a kennel, work with all these different types of dogs that you can, and then find a trainer and shadow them for a little while and see if it's, you know, there's a bunch of different types of trainers out there. So do your research and just make sure you get your hands on these dogs and kind of experience what it's like. You may not like it, but you may fall in love like me.
Millie, we appreciate it. And again, we appreciate the tips for those dealing with their pets while they're all shut in right now. Again, how do they find you and maybe join one of your classes or get you to come out and help them out?
Yeah. Just call Butler Creek Animal Hospital in Kennesaw. I am there 3 days a week, and the other 3 days a week I'm doing in-home sessions and one-on-one sessions.
All right, appreciate it, Millie. Say hi to Pops for us.
All right, I will. Thanks so much.
Okay. Thanks, Millie. It's Millie Travis.
Thank
Sam,
you.
Makes you want to go out and get yourself a puppy, don't it?
Yeah, it does. That's interesting stuff, though. Interesting stuff, and especially about the cats.
Yeah, but they get all kinds of stuff in there. I was wondering how much she works with, you know, people walking there with pigs, man. And listen,
yeah.
The day that they have the snakes in there, I'm not going to be there. But I have seen some animals.
Absent.
Yeah. But I've seen some other animals that come into that place. But anyway, we're going to just try to continue to get some tips from Millie about those of you with animals. Because, man, we got lots of dog lovers out there. Coming up in the 8 o'clock hour, we are going to talk to, on this Mother's Day, Kimberly Duggar. Mother of Kyle Duggar, who is now going to be playing up there for Bill Belichick in New England. Also talking about reopening some of the facilities here in Georgia in the sports world with Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Remember, you can listen to us on the radio.com app, all your devices, including smart speakers.
With time, all things must change. The road, it might take its own course.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.